there's something that turns a house into a home. Some magical transition that goes from four walls and a roof to being something that you just can't imagine not having in your life. I'll tell you, I'm going to get up to the... that's so far away, but I'm going to get to the pulpit. And I'll tell you about my home growing up. My home growing up... Is that a little bit better? My home growing up... I actually lived in five different houses in 14 years because my family made a choice not to own a home, and so we rented. And as I've been told, and as I tried to piece together the story, I know I've been there too, son. It's all right. We started an apartment, and then we moved to another apartment, and then we had the biggest house that I ever remember being in was probably when we had the least amount of stuff. And I'll always remember that house because there were two rooms we had absolutely nothing in. We didn't have enough furniture. They were just rooms. Five houses in 14 years. I'm not much of a mathematician. That's less than 3 years per house. That was a part of my growing up, is always looking for something bigger, always looking for something cheaper, always looking for something better than what we had. Now, the ironic part about this whole thing is all five of those houses were within walking distance of each other. And so I make my kids, when we journey back to Emmaus now, we go on the walking tours of places that I lived. Because you can literally walk from block to block to block and manage to see... Four out of five houses are within probably 1 square mile. Habitat for Humanity International seeks to serve families just like mine. And I didn't know it at the time, but one of the biggest obstacles to my family owning a home was the economics. You all know that you need to have money down and you need to make your payments, and then there's maintenance and upkeep and all of those other things going on. Habitat has made its mission for families to, and I'm going to read this is straight out of our mission statement, to families acquire and own decent and affordable housing. And especially up in Door County, affordable and decent housing might have a different kind of connotation to it, because if you come up my way in Sister Bay, we can go to visit some of those houses that are decent, but they are no any way near affordable in terms of housing. And yet that's the struggle, because we do actually have people in Door County, in our community, that cannot afford decent, affordable housing. Over 21 years, Door County Habitat has partnered with 36 families to build new homes. And out of 36 families, that includes 84 children. 84 children are not bouncing around from apartment to apartment, from half a house to half a house, looking for something bigger and better and cheaper than what they had before. 84 kids get the benefit of having a home rather than just a house. A couple of things that I want to tell you about Habitat in general, especially Habitat International, because I think it's really important that we understand the nature of that global organization. And the first thing is it centers on the theology of the hammer, which, if you like Thor, it doesn't have anything to do with a superhero or anything like that. The theology of the hammer is this. Sometimes, when two or three Christians get together, we have debates. And it doesn't take very long before we start having arguments over theology and doctrine and how this should be done and how that should be done. As the founder of Habitat was putting things together, he didn't want people to come together and argue. He wanted to have one common platform in which everyone could participate. And so they chose very deliberately to have no theology other than the hammer. a hammer that helps build a house for someone that doesn't currently have one. And it's really quite brilliant. Rather than getting people together and squabble over doctrine and faith and very particular ideas, the whole movement of Habitat as an ecumenical Christian organization is to bring Moravians and Presbyterians and Episcopalians and Catholics and Baptists and bring them all together with no hope of having them ever straighten out their theological differences, but with the intent of building up one house that can become a home for someone else. The second thing about Habitat International is we don't just give out free homes. And there's a lot of misperception in the community sometimes about what Habitat does and how it functions. We call this a hand up, not a handout. And I think that's another really important aspect of how we go about doing things. Partners apply to Habitat to have a home built, and it's based on three factors: need, ability to pay, and the willingness to partner. Partners borrow money from Habitat and then pay the loan back over the course of 15 or 20 or 30 years, the same as a traditional mortgage. We don't just hand out a home after it's built and give them the keys and say good luck. There is an element of responsibility that goes on along with that. Partners are also required to put in 200 hours of sweat equity into their own home. The idea is that if you really want somebody to turn a house into a home, maybe along the way teach them some carpentry skills and some of the things they're going to need to be a homeowner. 200 hours for each adult in the house. And that can be made up in a variety of ways. Now, the genius part of this, as far as I can tell, is what we call the economics of Jesus. Rather than going to a bank and securing a loan at whatever percent interest, Habitat loans the money to the partner family at 0% interest. All we're asking for is the money that is the money that is that we send out to come back. And as far as that goes, I think we're a fairly lenient mortgage holder. In the course of building 36 homes over 20 years, we've had one house that's been forced to go to foreclosure. One. We do everything we can do to prevent that because our goal is to have new homeowners succeed. Now, success depends on what you look at it. In our view, we would love to have a new homeowner live in that home for 30 years and pass it on to their grandkids. That's one success story. We currently have two partners that are in the process of selling their homes, listed at $89,000. If they sell their homes for what they're listed as and they pay us back, they might get about $5,000 or $6,000 as they're building equity and a new life. Both those situations have partners that have changed relationships, and one is getting married, and so they're trying to blend a new family together. Success is not just staying in the home forever and for always. Success is that hand up, that opportunity to move from wherever you were to wherever you're going. And I think that Habitat for Humanity, especially in Door County, has treated it as a privilege to be a part of that. For a growing number of partners, being that place where we transition from one to the next. I know that many of you know this on some level, and you've heard about it. You've got a challenge that has been issued by the leadership of this congregation in terms of raising money for what is coming for this year. This year, Door County Habitat for Humanity has accepted two partners. The houses cost a little bit more than $90,000 a piece, and we don't have enough money to build both houses. The first house that we are committed to build is will go up in Egg Harbor, and that house is for Panfila Haregi, and I think she has three children. Panfila right now lives in a trailer. Can you imagine this winter in a trailer? We're encouraged because there are congregations like yours that have been very responsive to the call that's been put out as a pure ecumenical movement to try and get the churches in Door County to be responsible for one of the builds. 50 Christian churches and fellowships in Door County. I did the math. If we all take our share, it comes out to about $2,000 a piece. You are going over and above, and I don't want to say that. Don't lowball us. You guys are doing great. Match the $2,000 you'll be paying for a church that has people and has skills and has expertise, but doesn't have the cash to help us out. Now, the hard part about this is that our bylaws stipulate that we need 75% of our financing before we can build. We're scheduled to break ground on April the 1st, if we can even find the ground. I mean, we know it's out there somewhere, and maybe we'll see it by the end of April, which means we're strapped right now because we've been able to promise Panfila her home. The second partner that was accepted is Marissa Forey, and her house will go down just outside of Institute. We've been able to promise her that we'd love to build her home this year, but we can't promise that anything more than that will happen. We are in an odd place. When I first joined the board, we had all the money in the world, but we didn't have approved partners. And now we have more than enough approved partners, but we don't have enough money. In Ephesians, Paul is trying to rally the community. He's recognized their differences, and yet he has implored them to unity. In some very poetic and wonderful uses of metaphor, Paul uses this idea of a building to demonstrate the urgency of their unity. And Paul tells them that they have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus as the cornerstone. More importantly, Paul tells the Ephesians that they are a structure that has been joined together and built to be a dwelling place for God. It's not magic. It's not mysterious. And in fact, it's actually quite simple. Paul tells the Ephesians that they are the bricks and the mortar. They are the wood and the nails. They are the siding and the shingles for what God is building. And brothers and sisters, I tell you the same thing. Habitat for Humanity is not magic, and neither is it mysterious. It is really very simple. We are the bricks, and we are the mortar. We are the wood and the nails. We are the shingles, and we are the siding for what God is building. There are a number of ways to become a part of that. There are certainly the financial ways for which we are in need of desperately right now. With the building that's going up in Egg Harbor being so close, our focus is on the Northern Door churches because we believe these churches to be filled with people who know something about building homes, who know something about taking care of homes, and who desperately want to reach out and love their neighbor. If Don has not already given you some, have you seen this insert at all? No, we'll make sure you get some of these. This is a sign-up sheet that says, please contact me to help the following ways. A construction volunteer, provide meals or snacks at the work site, prayer support, and financial support. Quite simply, the building that we are a part of extends far beyond Egg Harbor, extends far beyond the Ephraim Moravian Church. It extends all the way to what God is doing among us here and now. I have another more difficult question for you this morning. I asked how many people owned a home. How many people here own more than one home? The blessings of living in Door County, the blessings of some of the things that we take for granted need to be shared. need to be given away just as freely and as readily as they've been handed to us, with the same love, with the same expectation, with the same hope that someone's life can be made just a little bit better. We close this morning with a beautiful song that I think is also a song of challenge. Make us, O God, a church that shares. I watched this morning during announcement time as it was announced that you had already raised $1,000 for the Northern Door Children's Center. This is a church that shares. I've seen that. I know that, even though we are not so distant neighbors. The struggle will be, to what level can you share in this particular ministry? To what level can you share in the building of a home to provide for somebody what you already currently enjoy? So we're going to pray. And then we're going to sing this song not as a song of triumph, but as a song of hope. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we consider ourselves blessed. Blessed with riches, blessed with homes, blessed with family and friends and neighbors. Make us, O God, a church that shares those blessings, that is willing to risk something of ourselves, that is willing to commit our financial resources, that is willing to spend an afternoon landscaping or hanging drywall. Make us, O God, a church that shares your love, not with those who look like us and talk like us, but some of those who are most different from us. Make us, O God, a church that shares. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.